We're going to continue our lesson that we began last time, entitled, What Does God Expect of Me? What does God expect of you and I as Christians? And before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words. We pray that your Holy Spirit that indwells each one of us as believers would be our guide and teacher today. We pray that you'd bless the saint of God listening today, strengthen and build them up in the things of thee. And we pray if there be a lost soul listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ's shed blood and nothing else to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven, that this would be the very day that they'd call upon the name of the Lord with a heart of faith, and this would be the day of their salvation. Father, with the angels in heaven, we'll rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. And now we commit this time into thy hand, asking that you have your will and your way in our study today. In Jesus' name we pray. So we looked at last time six things that God expects of you and I as believers. The first one was to submit to believers' baptism. Number two, to fear God. Number three, to read and study God's word. Number four, pray always. Number five, to praise God. And number six, to be an involved church member. Now we want to pick up with number seven. What does God expect of me or you and I as believers? To give to him, to give to God, number seven. We read in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said, Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal it shall be measured to you again. This world is packed full of wicked and selfish people. God expects his people to be different. Anyone can be a taker, but it takes self-discipline to be a good giver. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, the words of God say this, So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So you see, just giving isn't enough to please God. He expects us to give cheerfully. We want to give, not grudgingly like we have to, but because we want to, cheerfully, because we love God. And when you love someone, you're happy and you're cheerful to do things for them. There are basically three ways to give to God. You should give of your time, give of your talents, and give of your treasures. Let's look at give of your time. Since you and I are bought with a price, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 19 and 20, we're told what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're bought with a price. Amen. With the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So since we're bought with a price, you really have no time of your own. Now, you have 160 hours per week, and God owns them all. You will account for every wasted minute, and you will be rewarded for every minute that was well spent. Notice the instructions in the words of God in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. We read, Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We are told to redeem the time. In other words, make the most of every minute. Someone once said, you cannot kill time without injuring eternity. You cannot kill time without injuring eternity. Now let's look at give of your talents. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, the words of God say this, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. You see, God isn't just monitoring our Christian service. He's also comparing our service to our abilities. You may very well be living a much more honorable Christian life than your neighbor, but are you doing your best? Are you using all of your God-given talents for His honor and glory? If you have a special talent, start praying that God will show you how to use it for Him. Bob Jones Sr. once said, it is always a sin to do less than your best. It is always a sin to do less than your best. How about give of your treasure? Now, a common practice among Christians is tithing. To tithe is to give a tenth. The first occurrence of tithing in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, where Abraham gives God a tenth of his possessions. Jacob also vows to tithe in Genesis 28, verse 22. Tithing was also a requirement under the Mosaic law. If you look at Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 to 32, Numbers chapter 18, verses 21 to 28, and Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. A tenth of all income was to be given over to the Levitical priesthood for their living and for the maintenance of the Lord's service. The blessings of God were promised to those who were obedient to His laws of tithing. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, the words of God say, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Today, although we're no longer under the Mosaic law, Bible-believing Christians still practice tithing because God accepted tithes even before the law of Moses. If an Old Testament Jew whose sins had not yet been cleansed can give a tithe of his income to the Lord, how much more should we be willing to give whose sins have been washed away in the blood of Christ? Most Bible-believing churches consider tithing a minimum gift, which goes into the general fund to finance the basic expenses of the church, while special love offerings and missions are considered separate offerings altogether. Amen. But that's between you and God. Amen. But God wants you to give cheerfully because you want to give. Amen. If you give grudgingly, like, you know, you're still under the Mosaic law and I don't, you know, I have to give, that's not what it's all about. You want to give because you love God. Now, number 8, what does God expect of us? What does He expect of me and you as a Christian? Well, He expects us to live a holy life. Amen. You see, God is holy, so He expects His children to be holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, the words of God say, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." To be holy is to be whole, to be pure and blameless before God. It is to lack nothing in God's sight. A Christian is not just a saved sinner by grace, as some teach. A Christian in the Bible is a disciple. And we read in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. A disciple of Jesus Christ is one who has been discipled to follow Jesus Christ. You see, we have been called to live holy lives just as our Lord lived a holy life. Notice these instructive words from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 17. The words of God have this to say, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." See that? We're to be separate. We're to live a holy life. We're not to be fellowshipping with the non-believer and in business, relationships, and personal relationships and marriages and so forth and so on. God demands holiness. He is glorified when we live above sin, and His light of holiness shines through us. We cannot be too careful. Paul said that we should abstain from all appearances of evil in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Even things that may look evil can scar our Christian testimony. So God expects us to be watchful and live holy lives. He expects us to stay unspotted by the wicked world. Amen. Now let's look at, that was number 8. Let's look at number 9. What does God expect of you and I? Well, He expects us to establish good Christian friendship. He expects you and I to establish good Christian friendships. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the words of God say this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The last thing you need as a Christian is a bunch of worldly friends to hinder your spiritual growth. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3, we're reminded, it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" See? And of course the answer is no. There's no point in having close friends who aren't spiritual. Acquaintances and distant friends are fine. But your closest friends should be God-fearing Christians. Keep praying for your old friends and witnessing to them. But make some new friends who are God's friends. A Christian friend should be saved, who love God, understand His purpose and plan in life. They'll be a great encouragement and comfort to you in life. Let's continue. What does God expect of you and I as Christians, as believers? Well, we need to learn. He expects us to learn to get along with God's people. The words of God say this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The best way to get along with people is to want to get along with them. You see, Satan delights in reaching our hearts through our old nature and causing us to look for sins and faults among God's people. In fact, remember, it is Satan who accuses the brethren, not you, as we see in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. A sensitive and touching spirit that is easily offended by others is not the Holy Spirit. We're told in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, we need to work hard and really try to get along with the brethren. Consider these 14 items from God's Word. Number one, we're to love one another. According to John chapter 15, verses 12 and 17. We're to confess our faults one to another. According to James chapter 5, verse 16. We're to pray for one another. Number 3, in James chapter 5, verse 16. Number 4, we're to prefer one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Number 5, we're to receive one another. In Romans 5, verse 7. Number 6, we're to admonish one another. Romans chapter 15, verse 14. Number 7, we're to serve one another. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Number 8, we're to forbear one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Number 9, we're to forgive one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Number 10, we're to edify one another, which means to build up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. In number 11, we're to consider one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Number 12, we're to exhort one another. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. We're to care for one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. And number 14, we're to comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. As someone has said, you're going to live forever with God's people, so you might as well learn to get along with them. See? I have learned that I can get along with anyone when I want to get along with them. Amen? Now let's look at, as we're looking at, what does God expect of me? Well, number 11, he expects us to submit to authorities. Submit to authorities. Now, the Bible is filled with instructions on how Christians are to respect and obey their appointed authorities. Now, these authorities fall into four general categories: the home, the government, the employer, and the church. In the home, wives are told to submit to their husbands. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. And children are told to obey their parents in Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3. Now the times may have changed, but God and His words have not changed. The ideal Christian home is a home where everyone fears God under the leadership of a God-honoring Christian man. Now, the government is also an appointed authority of God. The words of God say in Romans 13, verses 1 to 4, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. The powers that he be ordained of God. Wherefore resisteth, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." You see, governments were ordained of God, and he often deals with men through governments. It's our Christian duty to respect those who lead our local, state, and national governments. Sometimes we cannot honestly respect the people in office, but we can still respect the position that they hold, and we can pray for them. We read in the words of God in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty." You see, Christians need to behave themselves by obeying their leaders and praying for them. See? Let me give you some references here. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Jude 1, verse 8. 2 Peter 2, verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 13 through 17. You see, Christians need to behave themselves by obeying their leaders and praying for them, because it was God who made them leaders. We honor God by honoring our leaders. Amen. Now, God also expects us to submit to our employees and not be troublemakers. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, even commands servants to submit to their masters. John the Baptist preached that the Roman soldiers should be content with their wages. In Luke chapter 3, verse 14. Unless an employer requires an employee to inviolate God's law, he is to be content, remain humble, and submit. If he isn't willing to submit, then he can also always look for a new job. Amen. Then there are authorities within the church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says this: "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." We are to honor God by showing true respect for our spiritual leaders. Your pastors, your deacons, and elders are men whom God has ordained to serve as church leaders. Remember, my friend, to honor God by praying for them and respecting their authority. If you cannot honestly respect your church leaders, then find a new church. Never rebel against God's authorities. Don't start trouble. Just quietly behave yourself and find a new church. God always blesses those who submit to authority because all authority comes, my friend, from Almighty God. The last thing in our lesson that we want to look at is what does God expect of us? Number 12 is to be a Christian witness. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." A witness is a person who tells what he knows. Our job is to tell lost people what we know about the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving grace. A religion worth having is a religion worth propagating. If you are saved, it's because someone took the time to witness to you. Well, you should witness to others. Tell others what Jesus has done for you and what He can do for them. Learn some good salvation verses from your Bible and tell others. Amen. And tell others. So, in our lesson on what does God expect? Amen. What does God expect from you and I as believers? What does He expect? What does He expect from you and I as individuals? Number one, submit to believers' baptism. Number two, fear God. Number three, read and study God's words. Number four, pray always. Number five, praise God. Number six, be an involved church member. Number seven, give to God. Give of your time, of your talents, and of your treasure. Number eight, live a holy life. Number nine, establish good Christian friendships. Number 10, learn to get along with God's people. Number 11, submit to authorities. And finally, number 12, be a Christian witness. I hope this lesson, these two lessons on what does God expect of me, have been a blessing to you. And you need, I want you to remember that all our lessons on the pastor's study are available on CD. All you need to do is mention the study that you want and send your request to the address that you'll be given at the end of the broadcast. Also, again, I invite the listeners to visit my website, www.allthecounselofgod.com. A lot of good study materials in written form, audio form, and even some videos. So, until we meet again on the Pastor's Study, Brother Gino Cassieri, I'm praying for you, each and every one of you. My prayer is that God would richly bless you, and good day.